بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا وقدوتنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما، أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم واكرمنا بنور الفهم، وأنعم علينا يا عظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد، after the praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace be upon his beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. And we are in the light of the great stories of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to take them as an example for us, in which they were the great example of following the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. As the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam, he said, whoever loves them, loves me, and whoever hates them, hates me. As the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum, فَمَنْ أَحَبَّهُمْ فَبِحُبِّي أَحَبَّهُمْ وَمَنْ أَبْغَضَهُمْ فَبُبُغْضِي أَبْغَضَهُمْ. Whoever loves them, for my love I love them, and for whoever hates them, for my hate I hate them. They are the companions of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. And we started with the greatest companion, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and then it was to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, and last week was with Uthman Dhunnurain radiallahu ta'ala an, and today with Abu Turab, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Abu al-Hasan radiallahu ta'ala anhum, the cousin of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the first man, or the first male, if you want to say, to become a Muslim, it was Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Ali, the fourth Khalifa, the fourth successor of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the first young man to become a Muslim. He became a Muslim at the age of 10. Ali ibn Abi Talib, Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, that stood by the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam supporting him, although he did not become a Muslim. And when Abu Talib had more children, and Abu Talib was in charge and was a leader from among the people of Mecca, he used to spend a lot of his wealth into the hospitality of the visitors that come and visit Mecca. So he came to a time where Abu Talib had not enough money to support all his children. So sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the man of all good, accepted or nominated himself to take one of the children of Abu Talib and raise him with him and spend on him, so he could take less responsibility and less headaches of his uncle Abu Talib, especially for the good that Abu Talib had given the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam from a young age. He looked after the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam after the grandfather of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam passed away. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam took in his household Ali ibn Abi Talib. And he grew in the household of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam and under the caring of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, until was that day where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent that first revelation to the Prophet. And it was that night that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up on his feet and started to call people to the deen of Allah. And it was the first human being to become a Muslim, it was Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And it was Ali ibn Abi Talib, the first male to become a Muslim, and the first young teenager and boy, if you want to call it, that became a Muslim. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the first man to become a Muslim. And radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ali, كرم الله وجهه. He was nicknamed or called كرم الله وجهه. May Allah bless his face. Is because he never prostrated or lowered his head to any idol like the rest of the other people, including the companions. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhum never bowed or worshipped or prostrated to an idol or a statue. It was the only prostration to Allah Azza wa Jal. And the hadith, there's a hadith that says, أول من أسلم علي, the first who became a Muslim, it was Ali. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved Ali. He loved him so much, there was a lot of great ahadith being mentioned about Ali, like how it was mentioned about the other companions, and the great companions of like Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman, as we shared and mentioned some of those ahadith with you the last few Mondays. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Medina, from Mecca to Medina, he left behind Ali ibn Abi Talib. And Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu sacrificed his soul for the sake of Allah and his Prophet. The reason that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Ali behind is because sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fled and migrated Mecca secretly. And he had a lot of the trust that people had entrusted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, including his enemies, and mainly his enemies, left all those goods with the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, and it was not right from an honest man to walk off Mecca and not returning those goods to the people. And if he does return those goods to the people, then in other words, I am going and I am migrating Mecca. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his wisdom, he left his son-in-law Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu behind, and he slept on the bed of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the 12 teenagers that came to attack and kill the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and hit him one man hit, they thought it was the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam sleeping under that blanket, and it was Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And after Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu sacrificing that great sacrifice for Allah's sake to accept to go and sleep under that blanket, so the non-believers think it's Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and if the hit comes on Ali, Ali was more than ready to accept that for the sake of Allah and his Prophet. And then Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu will stay a few days later, giving all the goods and giving all the trust back to its people, and then followed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Medina. As we know, one of the first steps that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took in Medina was the brotherhood. And the brotherhood was to make a brother, a Muslim brother from Mecca, a Muslim brother from Medina. And it was called the Mu'akha, where sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will bring a Muslim from Mecca and a Muslim from Medina and make them brothers. That they were, on one stage they were inheriting one another. They were inheriting one another. At one stage they were sharing each other's wealth to one another. To the stage that one of the companions told one of the other companions, Abdurrahman bin Auf, if you want, take half of my wealth. And if you want, I've got two wives. Look at which one you like and I'll divorce her. And after her iddah, you could get married to her. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did that mu'akha, and he made every companion from Mecca a brother of a companion from Medina. At the end, it was Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu that was left out. And he came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam crying. And he told him, O Prophet of Allah, he made a brother from Medina, a brother of another brother from Mecca, except me. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, don't you accept that you become my brother. Don't you accept that you become my brother. This is another great virtue. And another great status of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhum. In the battle of Khaybar, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kicked out the Jews until they hid in Khaybar and hid in the castles and the towers of Khaybar, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam want to exile and demolish them from the Arabian Peninsula and kick them out fully. He went with a group of companions and they fought and fought and fought for days. And there was tower after tower where the Jews will hide in one tower and then they'll hide to the other tower stronger than the previous tower. Until they reached to the last tower, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stood up that night and told the companions, tomorrow I'll be giving, tomorrow
I'll be giving the flag. And the flag means the leadership. The leadership. Tomorrow I'll be giving the flag, the leadership, to a man that Allah Azza wa Jal will open on his hands. Allah and his, he loves Allah and his Prophet, and Allah and his Prophet love him. Tomorrow I'll be giving the flag, the leadership, to a man that Allah Azza wa Jal will open on his hands, Khaybar, tomorrow. A man that loves Allah and his Prophet, and Allah and his Prophet love him. So the next day, where that night went past, the companion said, every single one of us was looking forward to be that man. Not because of the leadership. Not because being at the front, and not because carrying the flag. It's because of the love of Allah and his Prophet is in return. Because the love of Allah and his Prophet. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I've never loved the leadership earlier that night. I've never loved or looked forward for a leadership, only for that leadership that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned at that night. It's for the sake of Allah and his Prophet loving him. And then the next day will come with the companions. Every single one of them is looking forward to it. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam will call upon a lion of Islam, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. A man that loves Allah and his Prophet, and Allah and his Prophet love him. So they said, a Prophet of Allah, Ali, has an injured eye. So they called Ali ibn Abi Talib, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam will take a bit of his saliva on his hands and wipe it over the injured eye. And Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, but Allah, this injured eye became better than the healthy eye that I had before. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and sallallahu alayhi wasallam will give him the flag and tell him, fight and fight them until they testify that there is no God except Allah and Muhammad his Prophet. And if they do, then they had forbidden their blood and wealth on us. If they do become Muslims, then we can't touch them or harm them anymore. And radiallahu ta'ala anhu fought and strived and struggled in the path of Allah until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened on his hands Khaybar, and until the Jews were out of the Arabian Peninsula. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu, another great status and virtue that was mentioned about Ali ibn Abi Talib, it was in the Battle of Tabuk. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam came out of Medina with a great number of the companions. And it was Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu that was ordered by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to stay behind to look after the family of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and to look after the children and the women in Medina. So Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu was nowhere near like those hypocrites who used to run away from the battlefield. And nowhere near those hypocrites who used to have doubts in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he came running to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam before departing Medina and told him, O Prophet of Allah, you leave me behind with the women and kids and you go and fight in the path of Allah. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he told him, Ala tarda bi an takuna بمنزلة هارون من موسى إلا أنه لا نبي بعدي. Oh Ali, wouldn't you accept to be in the state of Harun from Musa? Wouldn't you accept to be in the state of Harun from Musa? But there is no prophet after me. Remember the story of Musa alayhi salam. When he went behind the mountain for 40 days, he left behind his brother, his prophet brother, Harun alayhi salam, to look after Bani Israel. He told him, Ya Ali, wouldn't you accept to be in the state of Harun from Musa, illa annahu la nabiyya ba'di, but there is no prophet after me, radiallahu ta'ala an. His name, as I mentioned before, his nickname was Abu Turab, the man of sand. Abu Turab, or the father of sand. That nickname came is one day the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, He went past Fatima, his daughter. She was the wife of Ali ibn Abi Talib. He went past her house and he asked for Ali. So she said, O Prophet of Allah, she said, O Prophet of Allah, I had a dispute with Ali and I got angry from him, so he walked out. He walked out just for a time to calm down and come back. Then use that in the future, and wallah, Fatima and Ali had a dispute. I had a dispute with Ali and he walked out and he hasn't came back yet. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went looking for Ali and he sent few kids to look for Ali. So they told him, O Prophet of Allah, he's in the mosque sleeping. So sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the mosque and he saw Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu sleeping on the ground, on the sand, on the dust. And he got him up and he told him, get up. And he found a lot of dust on his back. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is wiping the dust off the back of Ali ibn Abi Talib and telling him, Ijlis ya Aba Turab, sit down, O the father of Turab. Ijlis ya Aba Turab, sit down and siru, O the father of Turab. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that I love to be called Abu Turab, that the companions used to call Ali ibn Abi Talib Abu Turab, because of the name that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam distinguished Ali from the rest of the companions as he distinguished his beloved companions like Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman from the rest, because of their support and loyalty to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says about Ali, whoever is loyal to Ali is loyal to me. Whoever is loyal to Ali, he is loyal to me. And whoever is an enemy to Ali, he is an enemy to me. Whoever is an enemy to Ali is an enemy to me. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, four people Allah Azza wa Jal told me to love them. And he told me that he loves them. And one of them is Ali and Abu Dharr and Miqdad and Salman al-Farisi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The hadith being narrated by Tabarani and Tirmidhi. And he also, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that no one will love him only a believer, and no one will hate him only a munafiq, a hypocrite. And it was, the time of dispute of some of the companions with Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Ali said, By Allah, I witnessed that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that no one will love me except a believer and no one will hate me except a hypocrite. Except a hypocrite. And the Prophet and the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they said, we used to know the hypocrites from hating Ali. They used to know the hypocrites from hating Ali. And surely because he is the family member of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And they see how Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu stands by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam will treat Ali very closely. The other hypocrites will get jealous because of that treatment. So they start speaking about Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They start speaking about Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the fitna that started where it became people too extreme with Ali and people too extreme against Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the Khalifa after Uthman, who spoke about last week radiallahu ta'ala anhuma wa radiallahu ta'ala an sahabati ajma'in. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the man that was given the bay'ah after Uthman. And remember when we said, remember when we spoke about Uthman, how he was killed by those Khawarij, by those hypocrites, by those diseased hearts who went against Uthman and against the leadership of Uthman, doubting Uthman and putting doubts in the hearts of the believers around Uthman and putting doubts in the hearts of the Muslims around the Arabic and the Islamic State, until they got a number of people supporting them and until they killed Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. Ali was the companion to stand up and say, I'll support Uthman by my wealth and life. That radiallahu ta'ala anhu gathered 500 companions from the most beloved companions to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he came out with them to fight those intruders, to fight those diseased hypocrites that fought against Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But it was the order of Uthman that told Ali to go back and stay in your house, and he ordered the rest of those 500 companions to go back and stay in their house, and he ordered every single slave that whoever packs up his gear and packs up his weapons, he is free. And he said, by Allah, I would never accept a blood to be shed, a blood of a Muslim to be shed for my sake. Radiallahu ta'ala an Uthman, until radiallahu ta'ala anhu was killed and his head was chopped, and the blood came exactly where sallallahu alayhi wasallam said on a verse, فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ. And then the fitna started, where people start to follow those hypocrites, and their number start to increase. From hundreds, they became thousands, up to 10,000 of them in Medina. And for days, they were ruling Medina, unfortunately. For days, those hypocrites were ruling Medina. And the companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they were in confusion of what they do. Until a number of companions, including Talha and Zubayr ibn Awam, got together to give bay'ah to Ali ibn Abi Talib and to accept Ali to be the Khalifa after Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. And Ali rejected that matter at the beginning, until they forced it on Ali. Oh Ali, there is no one else but you suitable for that job. There's no one else suitable for that job except you, Ali. And they gave the bay'ah to Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala an. And Ali accepted the bay'ah and went to the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and made his first khutbah, his first sermon as being the Khalifa of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But you could see it's a state of confusion. People standing by hypocrites. And those people are standing by hypocrites, unfortunately, are believers, but they are deceived. They are deceived, and they are being manipulated and played around with their mind to stand with those hypocrites that fought against Ali, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. So when Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu became the Khalifa, the first thing that people raised up is, we have to retaliate for Uthman. We have to bring those ones who killed Uthman and retaliate for Uthman by killing them. But subhanAllah, it's 10,000 of them. 10,000 of them is not an easy number. And they had power. So it can't be done one day and night. And radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ali ibn Abi Talib would never reject that. And Ali ibn Abi Talib would never think twice about that. But Ali ibn Abi Talib used his wisdom and hikmah. Used his wisdom and hikmah that realized it's not the time to do such an action. Or then people will turn against, and then the full Islamic state will be destroyed. So he delayed the matter. And because Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu delayed the matter, the fitna started. The fitna started from among the companions and among from the weak hearts of some of the believers that did not accept that decision of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And some of them gathered up, including Zubayr and Talha and Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and they went supporting Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So the issue and the fitna that started was not over the Khilafah, nor that Talha or Zubayr had any problem with Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu as being a Khalifa, nor that Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu had a problem with Ali as being a Khalifa. But the problem was Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu to retaliate for his killing. And Muawiyah relates to Uthman. Muawiyah relates to Uthman. And as Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَمَنْ قُتِلَ مَظْلُومًا فَقَدْ جَعَلْنَا لِوَلِيهِ سُلْطَانًا فَلَا يُسْرِفْ فِي الْقَتْلِ. And whoever is killed oppressively, whoever is killed oppressively, we had given his family the authority to retaliate. So Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, another great companion, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, took that and he said, I am from the family of Uthman and I want to retaliate for Uthman. And because of that, Ali's decision to delay that, it was the fitna that happened between the companions. So there was never ever, the fitna was over the Khilafah, or ever against Ali ibn Abi Talib. It was over retaliating for the killers, or retaliating for Uthman from those killers of Ali, the killers of Uthman. And that's why the fitna started, and supporters who went with Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and people went against Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, went with Muawiyah. And then the fitna exploded all around the Islamic State, all the way to the Kufa, all the way to the Basra, all the way to Iraq, where Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha walked with Talha and Zubair and went to Iraq to get support from the people of Iraq. And there Muawiyah also came out, and two great battles happened between the Muslims, supporters of Ali, against the supporters of Muawiyah. Over 70,000 Muslims was killed. Over 70,000 Muslims was killed, until in the Battle of Safin, where the supporters of Muawiyah grabbed the Quran and put it up and said, forget about the arguments, the disagreement. Let's go back to the Book of Allah. And let's go back to the ruling of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muawiyah nominated a companion, Amr ibn As, and Ali nominated a companion, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, for them to sit down with one another and to speak about the matter and to come up with a solution. So once again, my brothers and sisters, this fitna started not because of Khilafah, and not because disagreeing over Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu being a Khalifa. It was over Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu delaying the decision of killing the killers of Uthman. And if you think about it, he's got the full rights to do that. He can't just come out of nowhere and do such a thing when those killers had all the support in Medina and had over 10,000 of their followers with them in Medina. So radiallahu ta'ala anhu used his wisdom to delay the action so he could really retaliate for that great man Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But fitna popped out, as it is with the weak hearts of some people. And weak hearts, unfortunately, comes also from believers. Weak hearts come from believers, people thinking they're doing the right thing, but they're not. And that's why the fitna started, and it started and became big. And then from there, another sect came out. It was called the Khawarij, who went against Ali and went against Muawiyah and said them and their followers are kuffar and they're the only Muslims. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke about the Khawarij, and he said, by Allah, you see them. If you look at their prayers, you'll disgrace your prayer in front of their prayers. They read the Quran, they pray, they even look like more worshippers and more of believers than us. But by Allah, if I see them, sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, by Allah, if I see them or meet them, I'll kill them. By Allah, if I see them or meet them, I will kill them with my own sword. That were the Khawarij that turned against Muawiyah and turned against Ali and turned against the followers of Muawiyah, turned against the followers of Ali, and considered both of them a kuffar, and they're the only Muslims. And then later on, Ali ibn Abi Talib sent Abdullah ibn Abbas, who spoke with them, and there were over 100,000 of them. So more, 3/4 of them, after speaking with Abdullah ibn Abbas, they became Muslims. Those Khawarij are those ones who killed Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It was three of them were sitting down, three of the Khawarij sitting down. They were thinking about the fitna that was happening, and they thought they're pleasing Allah Azza wa Jal by killing three people. Killing Muawiyah, killing Amr ibn al-As, and killing Ali ibn Abi Talib. Muawiyah was in Syria, Amr ibn al-As was in Egypt, and Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu at that time was in Kufa. Kufa is a city in Iraq. So the three of them sat down, and one of them is Ibn Muljam. They sat down, and every one of them said, I'll go and kill Muawiyah. Another one said, I'll kill Amr ibn al-As. And the third one, Ibn Muljam, said, I'll kill Ali ibn Abi Talib. So the one that went to kill Amr ibn al-As went to Egypt. And subhanallah, the plan was, because at that time, the Muslim leader, subhanallah, look at the difference between now and then. The Muslim leader, it was his job to get up at Fajr before everyone and call people to come and pray Fajr. So it was the Khalifa and the Muslim leader that would get up an hour before Fajr and start knocking on people's doors telling them come and pray Fajr at the mosque. Never even get up for Fajr at all. And a big difference, subhanAllah. So their plan was, that's the best time that could get them, is to kill them at that time. So the one that went to Egypt, he saw the Imam leading the prayer. Amr ibn As at that time was sick. He could not perform Fajr prayer at home, so he prayed at home. And that guy that went to kill Amr ibn As didn't know who's Amr ibn As. He said he's the one that leads the prayer. So he went and killed the one that led the prayer. And it was a man that Amr ibn As assigned to lead the prayer. So Amr ibn As was free and Amr ibn As was saved and rescued from that. The one that went to kill Muawiyah, he saw Muawiyah coming out before Fajr, calling people to the Fajr, so he came to kill Muawiyah. Muawiyah moved, so he cut part of his back, and then the rest of the people grabbed him and they killed him. But the one that went to kill Ali ibn Abi Talib, he really got Ali ibn Abi Talib. It was when Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu came out, the Muadhin came to Ali ibn Abi Talib, wake him up. He came out of his house to call people to Fajr. Ibn Muljam came and attacked Ali ibn Abi Talib and killed Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the people grabbed Ibn Muljam. And then Ali, when he was on his deathbed, he said, if I die, then kill him as a retaliation for my death. And if I stay alive, then keep him alive and I retaliate of what Allah Azza wa Jal had judged in the Quran Kareem. And it was the ending of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he passed away in Kufa, and radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he ordered his children, Al-Hasan wal-Husayn, wa Muhammad ibn Hanafiyyah, to wash him and bury him. And some narration says that he ordered them to wash him and bury him, and not to tell anyone where he died. Other narration says he was buried in Kufa. Other narration says that he was put on the back of a camel and was taken down to Medina to be buried next to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Abu Bakr and Umar, and halfway through the camel ran and no one knew where Ali ibn Abi Talib is. It's all these different narrations that no one knows where Ali ibn Abi Talib is buried, and no one knows exactly or the exact place Ali ibn Abi Talib was buried. And then it was the khilafah of his son Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu after him. Al-Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, another great companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and the grandson of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and the most lookalike of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He is the one that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam grabbed one day in front of the companions, and he said, this is my son, he is a Sayyid, he is from my family, and Allah Azza wa Jal will bring peace on his hands over two Muslim parties that will fight against each other. And when Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu became a Khalifa after Ali, 6 months, he pulled out and he said, I give bay'ah to Muawiyah for the Muslims to be united. For the Muslims to be united. So Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave up the Khilafah for the sake of unity of the Muslims, for the bay'ah to be given to Muawiyah, and for the Muslims to be united under Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. At that time, the Khilafah was moved from Medina to Sham to start a new era. It's called the era of the Amawiyyin. Al-Amawiyyin is the family of Muawiyah. Muawiyah comes from a family called Umayyah. They stayed for 100 years ruling in Sham, in Damascus. They stayed 100 years ruling, and that 100 years, they call it the second era of the Khilafah of the Amawiyyin in Sham, and then later on was moved from Sham to the Abbasiyyin, stayed there for 400 years, and then from the Abbasiyyin was moved for 800 years in Turkey, which was called the Uthmaniyyin. This is not the topic that we want to get into, but just to put you in the picture and to tell you how it was moved from then. Insha'Allah, Ikhwani, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us like these great companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I've got a quick announcement for next Monday. Insha'Allah, next Monday, Insha'Allah, we have the barbecue night at Lakemba Mosque. You find this A5 pamphlet's been given out to you, and you find a few advertisement about next week. Barbecue night at Lakemba Mosque next Monday, the 30th of May. After Salatul Isha, we'll have a short talk. And then inshallah, after the short talk, free food for both brothers and sisters. And inshallah, free gifts for both brothers and sisters. So inform your brothers, inform your sisters, inform your friends, inform your colleagues, bring them here. And inshallah, we'll have a nice night. May Allah Azza wa Jal guide at least a person or one person from that night. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma ahdina wa ahdibina wa ja'alna sababan liman ihtada. اهد أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أصلح أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك يا ربنا قريب مجيب للدعوات انصر الإسلام والمسلمين دمر الكفرة والملحدين اللهم من أراد بالإسلام والمسلمين خيرا فوفق لكل خير ومن أراد بهم غير ذلك فخذ أخذ عزيز مقتدر اللهم أتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم يا مقلب القلوب والأبصار ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم يا مصرف القلوب والأبصار صرف قلوبنا إلى طاعتك وفقنا لما تحبه وترضاه استخدمنا لدينك ورفع راية نبيك اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان عليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين سبحانك اللهم بحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك صلى الله عليه وسلم said any gathering that you end with this دعاء سبحانك اللهم بحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك the angels will come down from Allah saying قوموا مغفورين لكم فقد بدلت سيئاتكم حسنات get up Allah had forgave your sins and exchanged your sins to حسنات for Allah عز وجل accept from all the brothers